I think what I'm wrestling with is a little bit of a cold, which fortunately I don't get very often, and six nights of posadas. Maybe the old man tried to be too young all week long. But it sure was a lot of fun. Wouldn't have missed a minute of it for anything. And only time will tell the value of those kind of ministries. Pastor Tom read from Isaiah chapter 9. If you read a little background behind that, those were dark days for Israel. The immediate future was going to be really dark because they were living in disobedience. And it's not a pretty picture that the prophet gives. But in the middle of that, he drops in those amazing words of hope that Messiah will come. It'll take over 400 years before that happens. But Messiah did come. And that's the beauty of the story. It's interesting, I think, that the prophecy, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," is fulfilled in Luke chapter 2. And we know the story. The shepherds are out in the field. The angel announces to them that the Christ child has been born in Bethlehem. You can go and find him. So the prophecy of Isaiah, "Unto you a child is born," is fulfilled in Luke chapter 2. God always fulfills what he says he will do. But you have to keep in mind that it was hundreds of years between the prophecy and the fulfillment. We humans are so bound up by time, and it's good to be reminded that God is timeless. He's without time. And so the fulfillment was way much later. The second part of that says the government will rest on his shoulders, and we're still waiting for that to happen. What an amazing promise that is, to think that the government, the management of Israel, would rest on the shoulders of God himself. And we all long for that. We long for government to rest on the shoulders of somebody who can do it right. And that will happen. And so that part of it is yet to be fulfilled too. And when Jesus comes back, that will be reality. The government will be on his shoulders. And then in that context, these beautiful titles, he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. His government and peace will never end. You see, when God does his work, he completes it. And then it says, he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity, and the passionate commitment of the Lord's heaven's armies will make this happen. It's an amazing promise. So the son being born is definitely in Luke chapter 6. And I would like to just look very briefly at these four titles. And there are many illustrations in the Gospels of how Jesus fulfilled those titles. I just want to look at one illustration for each one. And the first one is Wonderful Counselor. And I went to John chapter 14. Jesus, he's talking to his disciples. And if anybody ever needed wonderful counseling, it was them. He was about to leave them. They were going to be lonely. They were going to be persecuted. And he says to them, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am." You know, counselors are amazing. And we use them all the time. And I have tremendous respect for professional counselors. And we have people come to us with problems that need the tools that they can use to work through problems. And I'm all over that. We send people out all the time. But counseling that does not focus on Jesus as the wonderful counselor misses the big picture. People need Jesus. We need all the help that people can give us to get through life. But if we don't have help that focuses on Jesus, then it's all temporary. It's all earthly. It's all short term. It doesn't last. Jesus is the wonderful counselor, and he is the one that you can count on. And so he said to them, you know the way and the place where I'm going. Apparently they didn't. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, as the wonderful counselor, Jesus is the way back to God. And you and I, as we work with people, and we listen to them, and we encourage them, and we try to help them work through their marriage issues, and their family relationships, and their financial pressures, and their questions, on it goes. And we try our best to help find practical solutions. But we need to always look for those opportunities to eventually help people see Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life, the only way back to God. Because without him, it's all temporary. He's the wonderful counselor. People need to know Jesus. And then it says he's mighty God. And there's so many places in the Gospels we could turn to. But I went to John 11. Jesus, he had a good friend, Lazarus, and Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. And Lazarus was ill. And Jesus could have gotten right down there in time to make Lazarus well, but he delayed. He had a reason for delaying. When he finally got there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And the sister said, you know, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus had a bigger point to prove than to heal a sick person. And he stood in front of Lazarus' tomb, and he said in John 11, 41, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said, unwrap him and let him go. You see, the mighty God is the only one that can unwrap us from our sin and make us free. We all are wrapped in sin. We come into the world that way. And people look for all kinds of ways to deal with that problem. But there's only one way to deal with it, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the mighty God. I can't explain it. I don't know how God could take on human flesh and become the God-man. I don't know how God could exist in three persons and still be all one. I can't explain those things. If I could explain those things, I guess I would be God, wouldn't I? And you'd be in big trouble. The beauty of the message of the Bible and who Jesus is stands on its own. And Jesus is the mighty God. And it even gets more specific when you get to the next title. The next one is Everlasting Father. And I went to John chapter 8 on this one. And in John chapter 8, Jesus was in a discussion, probably more of a debate. Maybe the Jews saw it as an argument. And they just could not accept the fact that Jesus was Messiah. And they didn't accept it. They finally ordered his death and got him on the cross. Absolute rejection. And Jesus, in this conversation in John chapter 8, they say to him, you're not even yet 50 years old. He was probably less than 35. And you have seen Abraham? It's a jest. It's an attack. It's, how could this be? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. He's the everlasting father. Way back in Exodus, Moses is out there in the desert that day, and the bush was on fire and it didn't burn up. And God is talking to Moses through the bush and telling him he's going to send him to Egypt with a big assignment. And Moses is reluctant, and he's trying to find every excuse in the book not to do it. And finally he says, who am I going to say sent me? And Jehovah God said, tell him I am sent you. It's the title for Jehovah God, the Creator. And here's Jesus talking to the Jews who are trying to talk him down from being who he claims to be. And he simply says, I am. I am. And that was absolute blasphemy to them, because to claim to be God unless you are God was worthy of death by their law. And they weren't going to admit that he was God, therefore they wanted to kill him. And they tried to do that, and he got away from them. He's the wonderful counselor. He brings us back to God. He's the mighty God. He can even raise the dead. He's the everlasting Father. He exists forever. And then he's the Prince of Peace. In John 14:25, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. If you were to gather up 100 people in our community today and ask them, what is it that you would like to have for Christmas more than anything else? If they're honest and they're thinking, and if they don't know Jesus as their Savior, they would say, I just wish I could have peace. Isn't that true? It's such a turmoil world. There's heartache on every hand. There's confusion. There's homelessness. There's terrorism. It's a messed up world. It's a broken world. Sin is doing a big number on the human race. And people are looking for peace. And they're looking for it in money. They're looking for it in relationships. They're looking for it in prominence. They're looking for it in all kinds of things that become addictive things. They're looking for it in all the wrong places. And Jesus says, I'm peace. No one has true, lasting peace apart from Jesus Christ. It does not exist. There may be some temporary peace. There may be some temporary enjoyments. Some people might say, man, I just feel peaceful today. But any honest person will admit that ongoing, lasting, perfect, genuine, heartfelt peace, it's not there unless we know Jesus. Peace for today and peace forever. You know, it's pretty amazing that the prophet Isaiah could say that many things in such a few words about the coming Messiah. He'll be born, and he went to his grave without ever seeing that. And his descendants went to their graves without ever seeing that. You read Hebrews chapter 11, and all kinds of people went to their graves with tremendous faith and never saw the fulfillment of it. But then finally, Jesus did come. Then came Jesus. And it's an amazing fulfillment of these titles. There's a song, Bev Shea used to sing it quite a bit. And it's based on the story of the blind man that Jesus came across one day. And he couldn't see a thing. He was having to beg for his existence. And Jesus came to him and healed him and made it so he could see. The point of the story is, then Jesus came. One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind. He could not see. He clutched his hands and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and set him free. Made the darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter, the counterfeit God, his power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He breaks the gloom and fills the night with glory, for all is well when Jesus comes to stay. And I'm so glad today on this Christmas Sunday and on any other time, and all week long we got to share this with our friends from the community, that Jesus did come. Then came Jesus. People scorned it. People said he'd never come. He did come. He made all the difference. And you can stake your life on him. And you better not stake it on anybody else. And finally, he did his work, purchased our salvation, went to the cross, took our sin on his body, died in our place, rose again, and then he said, I'm leaving and I'll be back. Really? We haven't seen the government on his shoulders yet. It doesn't seem like he fulfilled everything. He said, I'll be back. At Acts chapter 1, he said, the Father alone has the authority to set dates and times, and they're not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And folks, we're in the to the ends of the earth part of that. Aren't you glad the gospel came all the way to us? And after saying this, he was taken up in a cloud, and the guys apparently were just standing there staring. So the people that were dressed in white robe said, men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken up from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Then came Jesus. He fulfilled. Jesus will come again. You know, I think that it's very easy in our wonderful America to miss the whole point of Christmas. And I hope we'll all think about the fact that without Jesus coming and fulfilling the prophecies, we have no hope. And because we believe him, we have absolute hope because he's coming again. He may not come in our lifetime. That's okay. He will be back. And if you know him as your Savior, just tell him thanks. And if you don't know him, the Bible says, believe in your heart and say it with your mouth that Jesus is God. That's the point of it. He is God. He's the everlasting Father. He is the mighty God. He's the wonderful Counselor, and he's the Prince of Peace. Father, it's so good to reflect on who Jesus is. And I thank you once again for giving us the privilege to celebrate him. And Father, those of us in this room today who know him, we know that peace. We may have some trouble in our life, but we know that peace. There might be some folks here today who have no peace in their life. Help them to believe you. Help them to trust Jesus. Thank you for giving them the faith to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for putting up with my voice.